Exodus chapter 21, I desire that we read 6 verses from the beginning of this chapter. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the 7th he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gave him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Let us continue our reading from Exodus chapter 21, from the verse number 7 to the verse number 12. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the menservants do. If she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. This far we desire that we read in our second reading today. This is only a small fragment of the laws and judgments that God gave to Moses for his people. And I thought that it might be beneficial to us, helpful to see what was the nature and, if you like, the logic of the judgments in those days of the Old Testament given to the people of Israel. Perhaps we will realize that in our thinking, in our reasoning, we might have received too much of the influence of this time, of this world, of this generation, especially when we think about our rights. I have right to do this or that. They have no right to do this or that to me. You see, it is a sad truth, but nevertheless, the truth. It's obvious, it's very apparent. And in the countries where there is great freedom and looseness in the rules and ways of the living of that nation, that society, the believers also absorbed some of that looseness, and they're not able to think and feel in the ways of the Spirit of God as they should. It is also very visible, beloved, that in the nations where there was tyranny and oppression for years, decades, and in some cases centuries, the believers also have the weakness of absorbing something of that cruelty and meanness, and they don't understand exactly what true and free Christian love and understanding is. So it might help us seeing where we live and knowing what is the calling of our Lord and Savior. It might help us to see what were the judgments given to the people of old. These are the judgments which thou, Moses, shall set before them, the people of Israel. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. What was this law for? Did this law mean that one Israelite having a servant, actually a slave, a man, a person that this wealthy one purchased with his money, may not release that slave first, second, fourth, fifth year? No. It just meant one thing, that he, the wealthy one, cannot keep this servant forever and ever, as long as he or the servant lives. But when the 6 years are accomplished, the slave owner will have to allow this slave to go free. Now, if we follow the reference, we go through the laws, the third book of Moses, Leviticus, and later on, we can find that there were additional rules that this servant, this slave, will not only be set free, but also should be given something for the beginning of his life. Some money, some possessions, some personal things to use, so that he would not have to become, to sell himself, to become a slave again. In the old times, one that had nothing, no property, no possessions, no way of living, earning income for his life or for his family, he had the opportunity that none of us would ever consider an opportunity. He could sell himself or his family or members of his family and take money for survival. Or if he sold himself and had no family of his own, he could have sold himself under an agreement that after the time of his slavery expired, he would be set free with so much as wages or income or some reward for his slavery. Now, in other nations, slavery was lifetime. Now, in other nations, the master had the right and freedom to set his slave free, but also the freedom and the right to keep his slave for life. In Israel, they had the same right with the captives of the other nations that they captured during wars. But with the Israelites, they could not do that. And a slave that was a slave 6 years was set free and given something for the beginning of his living in freedom. But now when we read the following verses, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. But if his master had given him a wife, and she The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. So, as much as this man could have rejoiced, waiting for the day when he will be set free, he also could have lived in fear and heartbreaking fact that he will have to choose either to leave his wife and his children slaves and he go out free, or to decide not to accept his freedom and to remain a slave forever, as long as he lived, in order to be together with his family. I wonder what any one of us would choose. Who among us would rather choose to be a slave for the rest of his life, just to be together with his family? Or who would choose to go out free and leave his family in slavery? Well, that was another possibility. The man would go out free, and he would labor and pray, and if the Lord will bless his labor and he would earn money, he could redeem his wife and children. We know one that did exactly that, or did it even in a more difficult, more awful way. All of us, starting with our parents, Adam and Eve, were slaves. And we did not sell ourselves to a good master, but to a wicked one. And that master did not regard the laws of God. That master hated these verses that would proclaim freedom to the slaves in the seventh year, year of peace. But the bridegroom of our soul decided that he will redeem us with his own blood, his own suffering. So he died on the cross. But the Father did not allow the Son to see corruption. And so he was risen and came to gather his children, the souls that he has redeemed with a great price. And that's what he calls love and mercy. When God created the world, he brought all the creatures to Adam so that Adam would give them names. If there was no name for love and grace of God, if we were given the task to find the name for that, I don't think there would be words that could express such a great gift as the love and goodness of our God. If this servant should plainly say, I love my master, you see, it was not sufficient to love his wife and his children. It was necessary also to love his master. Now this master was the master that we have, is worthy of all our love and much more. But if there be among the people, among the Israelites, a master like our father Abraham. Our father Abraham was such a good master that the slaves born in his house were like his children. They were willing to go to war, endanger their own lives for their master's cause. They loved him more than we ever see in the world, in any relationship among human beings. And then we read here, if this servant will plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and that will become a permanent decision. Actually, you know what happened to this slave? He's adopted. He becomes part of his master's family. He does not have the right of an heir, and yet Abraham said to the Lord, the heir of my possessions will be this servant of mine. But God said, no, no. Abraham, Sarah will give birth to a son of thine. And it happened so. So he shall serve his master forever. Now here we come to a word that is very important in order to understand the scripture. This servant will serve his master forever. Will the servant live forever? Will his master live forever? No, they both died. So in this case, forever means for a lifetime. And that's how we can understand that the laws given through Moses to the children of Israel are to remain forever until one of them died. When Moses died, that law had no more power over him. Moses did not offer sacrifices after his death. No. I don't think so. But the people of Israel lived as a people. And the law had power on them until the lawgiver, the God that gave them the law, died on Golgotha. And then he said, it is finished. And that law ceased. There was no more 10 commandments in the way the children of Israel received them and understood them rightfully. The 10 commandments and the whole law received a new spiritual dimension. We have to understand that in the spirit of him that was risen on that third day. And if not, we will live in darkness and in confusion, like all those that have no son and have neither the Father. So we read further in the verse number 7. If a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the maidservants do. rather hard to understand that. For some people, that would be all they ever had to love and to rejoice in this life. But there were cases when some of the families of in Israel in a great need for money or in a very difficult financial situation in poverty would take that awful and terrible step to sell one or more of their daughters to another family that was wealthy, and with that money they hoped to survive and to recover from their poverty and hopefully have good and fruitful years, and then later on buy their daughter or their sister back and bring her again into freedom. But they had no power or influence over her life while she was a slave. She might have been given to be a concubine, not even a wife, but a second or third degree woman. I think that this is just very, very difficult for us to understand. But think about the believers. A man and his wife that believe they're Christians. And they look, and in their church and the other affiliated churches, they don't see suitable prospects for marriage. And they try to influence their daughters or their daughter to go to another church that, well, maybe it's not as good, not as faithful, but still it's some kind of a church, and at least she will have a chance, an opportunity to get married. Or even worse, if there could be anything worse than that. They encourage their children first to take care, if we can say it that way. A terrible thing, terrible way of taking care, to take care of their earthly future and then seek the Lord and His salvation. And they have no influence over the lives of their children. While the children live in sin, what if the children died before they turned to the Lord? And who can ever guarantee and make sure that once the children are taken by the whirlpool of sin, that they will ever seek that shore of God's salvation? You see, the people nowadays can be much more cruel than in the times of old. And what if some of the believers nowadays treat their children with meanness and cruelty, helping the enemy to multiply offense and put stumbling block before the young ones to destroy their spiritual lives? Yes, it's true. that today the people can be very cruel. But then think about a slave girl that was not sold by her father to be a slave. She was captured, and chances are that her parents wept and lamented that tragedy. She was captured by Syrian soldiers and taken into Syria, and she served her mistress, the wife of Naaman, the captain of Syrian army. But what a grace that child had, not hating her slave owners, but desiring salvation, healing for the husband of her mistress. So that little girl, that slave girl, that girl that was free in her slavery to believe the God of Israel, even though she was far and she could not attend the sacrifices and prayer meetings in the temple in Jerusalem, but still, when no one was watching her, she was free to fall down on her knees and with her forehead to touch the ground in the direction of Jerusalem and to remember the God of Israel. So, by the grace of God, this slave girl said to her mistress, "Oh, if my master would go to the land of Israel and seek healing, there is a prophet of Jehovah, the Lord. He could heal him from his leprosy." How did this girl know that Jehovah could heal this stranger from his leprosy? A man that belonged to a nation that was an enemy of Israel. When there in the land of Israel there were many lepers, never got healed. Well, even in those days of old, God proved that many that were not slaves yet were slaves of their sins, and some that were slaves were free, for their soul was secured in the bundle of God's people, those that God has redeemed. So Naaman went to Elisha the prophet, and in spite of Naaman's unbelief and rebellion, Naaman got healed. I believe, beloved, I cannot prove this to anyone, but in my heart, as weak as it is, I believe that this slave girl was set free with a great reward. And she came back to her family, I think, bringing more than she could ever earn if she was not a slave, if she was free all the time. You see, she was not the only one. We have an example of a slave, not only a slave, a prisoner in chains, in shackles, that continually proclaimed the year of Jubilee, the day of grace, the invitation to everyone to come to the Master that accepted sufferings, and that suffering, death and hell. On behalf of the slaves, he decided to make free. What a grace. What a love. What a God.
the only God, just and Savior. The one that judged sin and saved sinner.
When we read these laws, we can see how the cruelty of man was restrained and restricted by the law of God. It will take much more time to study that verse by verse. And yet, I would like to encourage everyone at least to read these laws, at least once or twice. And while reading, to think on the goodness and grace of God, how was that tiny trace of God's grace shining through or in the midst of darkness of human cruelty and slavery to sin? How God preserved some of those that lived in luxury because they believed on Him and obeyed His word. And how God preserved those that lived in misery because they trusted in Him and He was their only hope. Thus, there were slaves that were made free only after their death. And yet, through many years of their slavery, they were free by the faith in Him that redeemed His own. As much as I was sharing with you in my great weakness, it is my prayer and the desire of my soul that the Lord will give us much more, so that knowing the law, we can appreciate the grace of God much more. And that we realize that no matter what the situation be, we have salvation in Christ if we believe on Him and keep His word. Whether we have mean and cruel living or many joyful days, in any case, it's not going to last for long. But that peace and joy of His salvation should last forever and ever, and should accelerate in glory were with all the saints and the multitudes of the heavenly hosts. I desire that all of us praise the Lord throughout eternity. Amen.